To the book of Acts, Acts chapter number 20. Let me just say this, I just received a new update from Miss Debbie, our church administrator, concerning our faith promise giving, our grace giving. We have now just crossed over the $100,000 mark, amen, $100,004. So we're so thankful for you guys and your giving. God has met the goal and the need, and so we're excited. We have already have received five new missionaries and possibly another sixth one coming up in the next month or two, and we're glad about that, amen. What a great day that is. We're going to be reading in just a moment, Acts chapter 20, verses 17 down through verse number 24. We'll read that in just a moment. Well, today is a day that I hoped would never come. But to be quite honest with you, deep in my heart, I knew that it would. And many of you that gather here today knew as well that this day eventually would come. Today is a sad day. We are heartbroken that Pastor James and Miss Shannon are leaving this assembly of believers. Our hearts have bonded with their hearts. Our purpose for ministry still remains unchanged. But yet we understand, as Solomon pens in Ecclesiastes 3 in verse number 1, to everything there is a season and a time and every purpose under heaven. And in Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 10, the Bible says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. And then the words of our Savior that I think are very fitting in this situation we find ourselves in this morning from Luke chapter 4 and verse 43. And the Bible says, speaking about Jesus, and he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. So today our church gathers together to honor a faithful servant of the Lord. For these past 10 years, God has allowed Pastor James and Miss Shannon to serve among us with humility and compassion and thankful for consistency and faithfulness. We may be saying goodbye to their physical appearance and presence here, but we'll never say goodbye to their influence, their investment, or their impact that they have on our personal lives, but also on the lives of Sharon Baptist Church. Here in Acts chapter number 20, we find the Apostle Paul is bidding farewell to the Ephesians elders. He has invested over 2 years of his time in these believers. He loved them. He taught them. He wept with them. He prayed for them and labored among them. And now, as Paul prepares to leave, he reveals the heart of a faithful servant. So in this passage, I believe that Paul gives us a pattern not only for pastors serving God's people, but also for all believers, and a desire that we ought to have to finish well in our service for Jesus Christ. So let's stand for the reading of God's word this morning from Acts chapter 20. We'll begin reading in verse number 17 down through verse number 24. We'll then pray, asking God to challenge our hearts this morning with this thought, a faithful servant finishing his course. A faithful servant finishing his course. Notice what the Bible says beginning in verse number 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Father, we come before you this morning, Father. We thank you, Lord, for this time we can gather together as a church family. Father, I pray now for the preaching and teaching of your word, Lord, that you would help us to give us some understanding in this matter of a faithful servant finishing his course. Oh, Father, I pray that each and every one that claims Sharon Baptist Church would want to have this desire in their hearts to finish their course being a faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, again, we pray and ask if there be someone here who doesn't know Christ as their Savior, that this might be the very morning, Father, where the Holy Spirit of God pricks their heart and the Holy Spirit of God, Father, tells them that they need to be saved and they're willing to be obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit and they become a born-again child of God. So, Father, bless this time now, this last service that we have together with the Graninettis. May it be one of great joy. May it bring hope to our lives. And, Father, provide a path for the future for both them and us as well. So, Lord, we love you and we thank you. We ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated this morning. This passage really highlights three signs of a faithful man of God and truths that resonate deeply with this moment, with this pastor, and prayerfully for you and I as well. If you're taking notes, notice first of all this morning in verses 17 down through verse number 21, we see that Paul had a faithful passion. Paul had a faithful passion. Paul begins by saying in verse number 18, ye know. You see, Paul's life was an open book. He didn't hide behind closed doors. Everything he did bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And his passion for the Lord and his people was evident, the Bible says, in all seasons. Notice in verse number 18, we see a passion seen in his service. Notice Paul says in verse number 18, I have been with you all season. And what Paul is saying in these words, he's simply saying this. He's been with them through all kinds of situations and all kinds of circumstances. Paul isn't just saying, I'm not just there in the good days. It's not just there when the crowds are large, not just there when the ministry was smooth. He was simply saying this, I've been with you in the good and the bad as well. I thank God for that. Paul was consistent in his ministry to them. Here's the truth. A faithful pastor shows up in the pulpit. He shows up at the hospital room. He shows up in the emergency room. He shows up in the living room during moments of great crisis, during moments of great joy. And the truth of the matter is simply this, that Pastor James has demonstrated these qualities through the 10 years of consistent, unwavering dedication to Jesus Christ and this church. His passion has been seen in his preaching, amen. His passion has been seen in his teaching and his willingness to do those unnoticed tasks and his faithfulness to the house of God. Did you know that there are a lot of things done in the name of the ministry around Sharon Baptist Church that go unnoticed by many people? But guess what? Unnoticed by many, but not by God. And if I were to list all the things that Pastor James has done in the name of ministry, I would fail to give you a list of everything that he has done. But let me illustrate just one of them for you this morning. The blinds that we previously had in the day school and still are in the bus office and the storage area and the same blinds that are in the fellowship hall have a small part in those blinds that make it work. It's called a worm gear. And it's called a worm gear because it's not much bigger than an inchworm. Literally, it's like this long and about that small. So it's called a worm gear. And the worm gear turns the blinds open and close when the extending rod is turned left. It's open, turn right, it's closed. Well, oftentimes, due to misuse or abuse, the blind worm's gears strip. They break, or sometimes they just fall out. Pastor James very patiently figured out what was wrong with those broken blinds. He ordered the worm gears from Amazon and then frustratingly worked to repair that worm gear. I'll testify that I don't have the fingers and agility to be able to do what he did. But he did. He figured it out, and he did that, and he took care of that. And that's just, I'm testifying, that's not an easy job to do. But that's just one of the hundreds of unnoticed jobs that he went through and did unnoticed by most people. I want to ask you a question this morning. Who's going to take up the mantle this morning of replacing those worm gears and doing all those unnoticed tasks here now that Pastor James is leaving to pastor his own church? I think as we think about the 10 years and the decade of his service really speaks for itself. Well, Paul had a passion seen in his service, but look in verse 19 of your text, you'll find something else. We've seen a passion seen in his sincerity. Notice, Paul said he served with all humility of mind and with many tears. Here's the truth. Real ministry isn't performed from a distance. And for those that would say, I don't have to come to church. I can just hear the pastor preach and I can sit at home. Listen, you're missing out on something. Real ministry isn't performed in a distance. It's performed up close. It's performed with a humble heart that feels very deeply. Humility means to walk as a servant to others, always ready and willing to give a helping hand. In fact, that word servant here in our text is referencing a bondslave. And Paul, if you know anything about his writing, constantly calls himself a bondslave. Paul continually called himself a slave of Jesus Christ. That word slave means more than just a servant. It means a slave that's totally possessed by the master. It's a bondservant bound by law to the master. Humility also involves acting in an unassuming way, not being showy, not being pretentious, not being prideful or arrogant or overly assertive. Humility involves adopting a humble and a submissive attitude, emphasizing the sense of oneness, emphasizing the sense of connection with each other without arrogance, superiority, or being boastful. All these attributes were found in the Apostle Paul, are also found in Pastor Granadetti. I want you to notice as well that a passionate pastor does something else. Not only has humility, but he weeps over souls. He prays for the people. And he loves the flock God has entrusted him with. He has a tender understanding. He has a compassionate heart. Notice, if you think about the Apostle Paul, the Bible tells us that Paul wept over the unsaved world in Acts 20 and verse number 19. He wept over carnal believers in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 4. He wept over the sensual and apostate ministers in Philippians 3 and verse number 18. Let me ask you this. When was the last time that you personally wept over the unsaved? Now, I know you probably pray for the lost. When's the last time that God has broken your heart and you wept for the unsaved? When's the last time that you wept for those carnal believers that maybe are here in this auditorium today? When is the last time you wept over them? When's the last time that you wept when you heard about a pastor that has fallen because of his weakness in the area of flesh? When is the last time that you have done that? Well, Paul had a faithful passion. It was seen in his service. It was seen in his sincerity. Then notice in verse number 19, he had a passion seen in his sacrifice. Notice the words. The Bible said Paul endured temptations, and we think of temptations, we think of the term trials. Pastor James, serving God isn't always easy, but a true servant of God will always remain faithful. No amount of persecution could deter Paul from his determination to bring the gospel to the people that he went to. Pastor James has served this church not for the applause of recognition, but he served it, as Paul writes in Colossians 3 and verse number 23, but heartily as unto the Lord. Well, not only did Paul have a faithful passion, but notice secondly, we find that Paul was a faithful preacher in verses 20 through 21 and verse 27. You see, preaching is more than just standing behind this pulpit. It's declaring God's truth with clarity and courage and, yes, with all God's grace and compassion. Notice in verse 20, we find that Paul, he did this. He preached publicly. Paul said, I kept nothing back that was profitable unto you, but I've showed you and have taught you publicly. Every message that the Apostle Paul preached was centered on Jesus Christ. It was saturated with the scriptures, and it was aimed at the heart, that the heart might be regenerated. He kept nothing back that was profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 16. Pastor James has done the same from this pulpit, from the podium at Sharon Baptist School of the Bible. He also proclaimed the Word of God without compromise. Well, we find that Paul preached publicly. But notice the second part of verse 20. We find that he preached personally. Paul taught them from house to house. And the message was simply this, to point people to repent, to point people to put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We find that Paul was an ambassador for Jesus Christ for all men, both Jew and Gentiles alike. And he brought everyone face to face with the character and claims of Christ through repentance and faith. And we understand that these words, repentance toward God, faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ, it's one of the most concise ways that we can summarize what it means to become a Christian and an heir of salvation. We could simply say this, it's the gospel reduced down to its simplest of terms. You see, Pastor James's ministry wasn't just confined to this platform. He preached during his counseling sessions, during prayer meetings, late night texts of encouragement to many of you. He preached in classes as he taught at the Hampton Roads School of the Bible. And yes, sometimes he even preached during Sunday school, LOL, amen. The truth of the matter was he faithfully preached the Word of God. A faithful pastor preaches not only with his mouth, but with his life every day that he lives. Well, we find that the Apostle Paul preached publicly. He preached personally, but then notice in verse 27, the last part of that verse, we find he preached practically. Paul said this, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. A good pastor doesn't cherry pick sermons. He doesn't cherry pick sermons to avoid some uncomfortable truths of the Word of God. He preaches all the Scripture because all the Scripture is profitable for you and for I. The church family really has been blessed these last 10 years with preaching that has been doctrinally sound. It's been spiritually nourishing and eternally significant, amen? Well, not only did Paul have a faithful passion and was a faithful preacher, notice lastly, then we'll be done. Notice that Paul followed a faithful past in verses 22 through verse number 24. So now Paul shifts from his past ministry to the future direction that God has for him. Notice his path of surrender in verse 22. Paul says he goes, notice the wording in verse 22, bound in the Spirit. He was going fully yielded to God's will for his life. He wasn't pursuing comfort. And as a matter of fact, quite the opposite was true. He was just answering God's call upon his life, following the direction that God would have him go to. Likewise, Pastor James has followed the Lord's leading for the next season of his life. Those words, bound in the Spirit, means Paul's own spirit. He's not saying that the Holy Spirit is bounding him up. Paul was driven to do that all that he could to reach his own people, the Jewish people, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, he puts it this way in Romans 9, in verse number 1 through verse number 3. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself, notice the words, were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Think about this. Paul was thinking to himself, he said, God, I'd be willing to die and go to that terrible place called hell if you would save my kinsmen, if you would save my brothers, if you would save the Jewish people, I'd be willing to trade my life for them. When's the last time you prayed a prayer like that? Probably never. But you know what? We shouldn't pray a prayer like that. But we ought to have that heart, and thought in our mind that, God, I'll do whatever we need to do to win our relatives and friends to the Lord. Then he writes in the next chapter, chapter 10 and verse number 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for God for Israel is that they might be saved. I think both Paul and Pastor James aren't leaving a ministry. All they are really doing is just obeying the master that has called them to go somewhere else. Well, we see that Paul followed a faithful path of surrender, but notice something else. We find that Paul followed a path of suffering in verse number 23. Notice, Paul knew that bonds and afflictions abide me. Paul acknowledged the difficulty that might await him. Notice he used the term bonds. That means in prison, afflictions, trial. He said hardships are coming that way. Perhaps maybe even Paul had an inkling of his death that was going to come. And as of this writing, it was about 10 more years before the Apostle Paul's head was cut off by Nero. Every pastor knows ministry comes with spiritual burdens on their life. But a faithful man of God accepts the cost of the calling of God upon his life. Just this past week, during the little break we had for Thanksgiving, I was watching a Christmas movie the other day about a woman who fell in love with a prince. And this prince was about ready to become king, and his mother was setting everything up, and he was about ready to become king. And when this lady spoke with the prince's cousin about becoming a princess, she received this advice, and it really sunk into my heart. She said this. She said, "Every girl wants to be a princess, but nobody understands the weight of the crown that a princess must wear." Pastor James, even though you've carried a significant amount of responsibility here at Sharon Baptist Church, which I've entrusted you with over these last 10 years, ultimately, the responsibility didn't rest solely on your shoulders because you are not the senior pastor. Ultimately, you could say, "Well, I'm going to go ask the pastor." Go ask the pastor. I can remember when I was associate pastor and assistant to the pastor, I had no greater joy than to say, "Go ask the pastor. He's got to make that decision." Amen. So ultimately, we shared some responsibilities, but ultimately, the buck never stopped with you. It stopped with me. Even now, the weight of the office of pastor is beginning, no doubt, to bear down upon you. Paul put it like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 28. He said, "That which come upon me daily, the care of all the churches." And Pastor James, if you're not careful, the care of the churches daily upon you will overburden you. Many pastors have left the ministry because of this. They've been overburdened and overworked and stressed out. I want you to understand that if you're not careful, that will happen to you. But understand this, the weight of the pastor ministry will soon be replaced by Jesus Christ himself with a crown of glory. The crown of glory is an eternal reward for those who lead by example, those who nurture and guide and comfort and care for God's people with selflessness and great compassion, showing the grace of God rather than the law as it comes. A man of God that understands this ministry comes with burdens. It comes with criticism. You will be criticized. It'll be great for a while, but I can rest assured on this, that criticism will come your way. And not only to you, it will come to your wife and her work in ministry there. Spiritual warfare is going to come. Guess what? Fatigue is going to come. But you need to press on down the path that God has called for you and called for Miss Shannon, trusting in him to provide the guidance, trusting in him to provide his mercy for the path that he's called you to go to. Psalm 27:11 says this, "Teach me the way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path because of mine enemies." Everything's good and fine and great, but Satan at some point is going to rear his ugly head up. And I hate to tell you that, but he is going to do that. And when he does, you need to find the plain path that God has called for you. You need to get with Shannon. You need to get in your prayer circle and get on your knees and say, "God, this is the place that you have called me to. And we're going to stay here and we're going to serve you no matter what comes our way." Well, Paul followed a faithful path of surrender and suffering. But then notice in verse 24, he followed a path of steadfastness. Paul says these words, "None of these things move me." That is the heartbeat of a faithful servant. And when the trials come and the enemies show up and they're knocking on your door and they're talking about you, they're gossiping about you, untruths are being told, Paul said, "None of these things are going to move me." And that's what you're going to have to say. "God, none of these things are going to move me." That's the heartbeat of a faithful servant. None of these things will move me. No matter what comes down your path, he stayed committed. He stayed grounded. Paul stayed steadfast. And Paul finished with a very powerful statement. He says that I might finish my course with joy. Oh, the ultimate words of a great man of God. And that is what Pastor James really has done. And he'll continue to do so as he follows the Lord's leading at his new work. A faithful servant finishes with a clean heart. A faithful servant finishes with a clear testimony. And a faithful servant finishes with a Christ-centered purpose. Today, we honor a man who has just done that for the last 10 years. And though he leaves this ministry, his influence doesn't leave this church. His fingerprints are over all the people. They're over our families. They're over the youth. They're over this pulpit. They're over Hampton Road School of the Bible. They're over our outreach ministry that he came and formulated and got us going to. All the ministries that he touched, his fingerprints are still there. And guess what? They're still on our hearts as well. As we close today, we honor a decade of faithful preaching, faithful service, a faithful love, and a faithful endurance, and a faithful leadership. We're simply not saying goodbye today. We're saying thank you. We're saying to you, we love the both of you, and we will continue to pray for you. And we say with Scripture as well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Numbers 6:24. Verse 26. Pastor James, may God guide you forward. May he bless your family. May he multiply your ministry beyond what you could ever would have imagined that God could do in and through you. And to those that are left behind here, the church. Today we say goodbye to Pastor James and Miss Shannon. But we also look forward to the future with great hope and great excitement. The work of the Lord is never, ever done in vain. And we trust that God has a plan for our church, just as he has for Pastor James and Miss Shannon. We're called to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. This means continuing to serve with joy and dedication, even in times of transition. Let us carry forward the work that Pastor James helped build here at Sharon. Let us lift him and Shannon up as God directs his path. Let us remain faithful as he has been faithful these last 10 years. Let's close with a word of prayer.